The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had her crippled for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on with which you ought to work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham whom Satan had bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace in the name of Jesus. Amen. Way back at the beginning of Luke's gospel, we find Jesus in the synagogue on Sabbath, preaching. He walks into the Sabbath, as was custom. Somebody hands him the scroll of Isaiah. He reads and proclaims, "Today this has been fulfilled in your hearing," and sits down. His whole ministry begins in a synagogue. After the stories of his birth, after the cries of Mary and Elizabeth for the crooked places to be made straight, for the lowly to be uplifted, after Jesus' own testing in the wilderness, his ministry begins on the Sabbath in a synagogue. And it's not just any word that is handed to Jesus that day. It is a word of release from Isaiah. "The captives shall go free. Those who are bound with chains shall be set loose. I will proclaim to you the year of the Lord's favor." And to that today, this word has been fulfilled in your hearing. His ministry begins with a word of release, a word of being set free. And we see that in action. Over the next several chapters of Luke's story of Jesus, we find Jesus healing in the houses, in folks' homes, around the table with Levi or Simon the Pharisee. We find Jesus in the wilderness breaking bread. We find Jesus on the chaos of a raging sea. We find Jesus in the boat with terrified disciples. And today, we find Jesus back in a synagogue on the Sabbath. And today it seems that sermon he preached all those weeks ago or years ago comes full circle on the Sabbath in a synagogue. This is not an ordinary story of healing. All of the themes that Jesus proclaimed on that day in the synagogue on the Sabbath of release from Isaiah come to fruition fully here. Sure, Jesus has been about the business of release. Jesus has been about the business of circulating resources, about proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor, but all of those things come crashing together in this moment. A woman has been crippled for 18 long years, bent over. And for us moderns, we start thinking about symptoms and maybe biomechanic solutions. Maybe she needs physical therapy, maybe some muscle relaxers, maybe there's a surgery that can be done to let loose the tension, to allow her to stand properly. Maybe there's a particular diagnosis that would provide an answer. But for the crowd, for Jesus' audience, for Luke, for the known world in the first century, those questions do not linger. They don't think of the biomechanical approach to illness. They look at the symbolic. Not what caused the symptoms, but what do the symptoms cause? Not what led to her being bent over, but what her being bent over leads to. It's a different approach. And what her being bent over leads to is absence, is being held at the margins, being marginalized by society. Because they don't know what ails her worries the crowd. Can we catch it? Will somebody else be affected by it? Certainly in the social realm she occupies, she cannot be a person of hospitality. She cannot welcome into her home. She cannot be at table making sure people's needs are met. She is defective, literally, by the standards of her own society. She is disvalued because of what ails her. Not welcome, outcast, held captive by what keeps her bent over. And this doesn't just affect her, it affects the integrity of the entire community. And that's how it worked in the world of Jesus. It's not the individual, it's the collective. We think of disease and ailments as an individual problem, which is why we still have COVID with us, which is why we haven't potentially reached a better solution, because we treat the individual, not the community, because there was so much resistance to treating the individual, it affected a wider group. We don't recognize it, but we can understand how communal integrity works, even though if it's not our preferred way of practicing medicine. But in Jesus' world, he treats the collective. The radical distinction between self and society. As much as he heals and releases, he also engages in what we might call political work. The circulation of resources, making sure the needs of people are met. He treats the dismembered of society as part of the larger whole, and Jesus gets in trouble more often than not because of where he puts his body. Where he puts his body on the line for the sake of the gospel, reaching out to those who are deemed unclean, touching the lepers or those who have been bleeding, standing in synagogues on the Sabbath and proclaiming people healed. It's interesting to note in this story that Jesus proclaims before any physical action takes place. He first announces her release. He announces, "Woman, you are set free." Literally, you are released, or literally, you are pardoned. It's an interesting way to look at it, to be pardoned from an ailment. To be released, to be liberated, to be set free, and not healed. We would think of it as you are healed from this ailment in a modern sense. The drugs have taken their course, the antibiotics are working, you are on the road to healing, but that's not what Jesus says. He tells her, you are set free, liberated. And then he lays his hands on her. Not the other way around. You are set free, and then he lays his hands on her, and she stands up straight, released. Obviously, this happening in a very small space draws the attention of the synagogue leader. Even in a bigger space here, we would notice if something like that were to take place during part of our worship service or a sermon. It would be a bit distracting, and so the synagogue leader is indignant. And it comes off as a reasonable statement. There are 6 days to heal. Why not come one of the other days? Why not do what other people have done for 2,000 years? Come at the proper time, and you could have been healed. Which Jesus flips on its head entirely. The Sabbath was not meant for legalistic following of rules. It was not meant to diminish life. It was meant to sustain. It was meant to be a reminder that we aren't part of the mechanics of a 24/7, 365 cycle that chews up our lives. It was meant to be a reminder of who God is, a God of release. 6 days you shall labor, on the seventh day you are released from those labors to rest. And there are statements in Deuteronomy. Jesus quotes Deuteronomy, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger?" Obviously, animals have to eat and drink too. There are things that will be done on the Sabbath. But maybe there's something more going on here. It's not just about that six-day cycle. Remember back in his first sermon, he proclaimed, "Today this has been fulfilled in your healing." The last word he said from Isaiah is, "This is the year of the Lord's favor. This is the year of Jubilee." And Jubilee is all about release. It starts with Sabbath, sure, but it comes in growing increments. You work for 6 days, you rest on the Sabbath. You labor for 6 years, the seventh year things go fallow, they rest. You complete and work on the cycle for 49 years, and then everything is released. Land back to its original owners. Debts completely released. Anybody in captivity to you for any reason, set free. Status restored. The Jubilee cycle is all about release. It is all about equality. It is all about the equal distribution of resources and claiming identity of who God created us to be. So the labels are stripped away. That which would hold us socially dead, removed. And to a woman bent over 18 years who has been longing for release, now is the day of Jubilee. You are set free, and Jesus touches, and she stands up straight. Richard Lowry, in his book Sabbath and Jubilee, reflects on this a bit. He writes, "The connection centers on the imagery of binding and releasing. And here Jesus' mention of the ox and the donkey is important. He says the root meaning of Shemitah in the Sabbath year passage refers to the loosening a yoke and letting it drop from the shoulders." So in the Sabbath year passage, going back to Deuteronomy, this word Shemitah is about loosening. With the shoulders now unbound, the one released can stand up completely erect. By the very nature of her debilitating ailment, this woman is a living embodiment of the standard metaphor for this release. And remember, this is not just about releasing livestock and land. It's about releasing people. And with that come economic and debt conversations, the realities of what it means to circulate resources. And he says she becomes the standard metaphor for release from indebtedness and oppression. That's what she symbolizes here. She is the embodiment of being set free from indebtedness and oppression. On the surface level, this story comes to us as just a healing story, as a woman who had been bent over and had some physical, mechanical problems in her body, and she's made to stand again and she can walk set free. But in Jesus' world, in the spirit and metaphor of understanding, she is released from oppression. She is released from being bowed down by indebtedness, which was the point of the year of the Lord's favor, which was the point of Sabbath. which is why Jesus can proclaim release in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and why he can respond the way he did to the teacher in the synagogue. You've missed the point. It's always been about healing and release. In the cycles of generations in Leviticus, Exodus, in the post-Egypt world for the Israelites, it was easy for them to mimic what they had seen. And as soon as someone got just enough that they could build on, they started accumulating more and more and more at the expense of the marginalized. It's why the most often quoted trilogy in Leviticus and Exodus is "Take care of the orphan, the widow, and the stranger," those who were most vulnerable to this aggressive accumulation of resources. The story of healing is one that is mirrored in Luke 14, which is ironically skipped over by our lectionary, about a man with dropsy. Part of his body grows so fast, the medical terminology alludes to a retention of water, but almost every author in the known world at the time who dealt with it used it as a metaphor for aggressive affluence, affluenza, consuming more than you needed. And so these stories mirror each other. A woman bent over by indebtedness and oppression, and a man growing too big because of his affluenza. The cure is the same. Release. Liberation. Salvation. It's what God does. Our encounter with the living God gives us pathways out of these afflictions that still plague us. And we have to learn to think on both sides of the same coin, to be the ones who circulate resources so that there are none who are bent over, and also to recognize that we need to be released from what creates us to consume more than we need, to help those who are doubled over, and to also make sure that we are not aggressively consuming more than is good for us. And our society knows this. It's funny, we still use these metaphors, we just don't attach them to what Jesus does. We have terms like crippling debt, or people are bowed down under the burdens of debt. We know this. We know predatory cycles, like student loans, which, thank God, I am no longer under the oppressive heel of. I was very fortunate in my encounters with education that through scholarships and other folks' generosity and doing some work on the side, that I was able to get through without being caught by student loans, which seem great on the surface. But I know of people who have paid over what their loan was originally for, and still owe almost as much as they took out 15 years ago. Someone who took out $42,000 to go to school and has paid back $48,000 but still owes $35,000 over 15 years. Affluenza, maybe not of the individual, but of a system that has grown too big and can do nothing but consume at the expense of those who are bent over. That's what this looks like systemically in our world. And yeah, it's going to take a lot to move that lever. I get that. But it's what this looks like in real space and real time. The encounter of those who are bent over with those who have aggressively consumed too much. This is the last time Jesus will be in the synagogue on the Sabbath, completing that loop, that conversation he started way back in chapter 4. A little culmination as we move towards the conclusion of this story of what the kingdom of God looks like. To strip back some of the layers and take a hard look at what he's doing with release, liberation, proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. not just a healing, but an intention that God set in motion thousands of years ago, the intention that God always had for the world, not dictated by the 365, 24/7 world of empire that consumes and bends over, but the world of Eden, of a garden, of circulated resources and those who have enough. The work of discipleship is done in these moments. And I keep saying it, and I'll say it again. We're going to keep coming back to it because Luke's not going to let us off the hook as we move into September. The stories keep going deeper and deeper into the radicalness of what this kingdom looks like, and it's real and it's happening. It's giving us new eyes to see and new ears to hear critically of what's going on in the world around us and how we begin to challenge old ideas, how we begin to recognize those who are bent over, those in need. Perhaps where we feel bent over ourselves, where we are held captive, where we need a word of liberation. All of us have been set free. We proclaim that every Sunday. All of us have already received the promise of this liberation and release. And it's our work now to operate as if it's real, not some promised future, not some distant release and liberation to the heavenly realms or the promised land, but real now. To imagine what this woman's life looked like after that day in the synagogue on the Sabbath. I bet she didn't sit around and enjoy her newfound freedom. She invested what God had given her back into the life of the world. So let us use our freedom. Let us use the gift that God has given us, and let us practice the liberating, releasing love of God. Amen. Let us stand together and join in our hymn of the day, number 796, How Firm a Foundation. Please rise.